Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, joined as always by my fantastic co-host, Al McDonald. Al, one of my favorite days of the month. You know that. We do it twice a month when things are working out, but yeah, another great Friday lined up.
Yep, favorite day of the month and kicking off a new year. So that's exciting as well. Looking forward to another great year of Podcast Fridays.
Well, it's been a year of Al and I going a little bit outside of our comfort zone and attending more events. And the funny thing that happens when you attend events that are run by really good people, plug for Michelle Brooks. She ran an amazing event, or at least spoke at this event and was running things for the day through the TAP network. We were at Tech Talent North, and what an incredible day. And I saw someone up there on a panel, and I thought, oh, I have to meet this person. We have to chat more on the podcast. So we are thrilled to welcome Manu Varma to the show today. Manu is the head of people and culture at Switch, and it's such a pleasure to have him here with us. Manu, great meeting you at Tech Talent North a few months ago. So glad we could make this conversation happen.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me on. Greetings from the West Coast in Vancouver.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a little bit early for you.
No, I'm hours in. I work on the better coast time zone on the East Coast. So
gotcha.
You're used to this.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we've got someone at our company, too, that I always look and say, how are you getting up for these early morning meetings? But yeah, he works on Eastern Standard Time as well. To kick things off, so I was preparing for the podcast this week. I popped onto your LinkedIn profile, and there's a quote there, and it says, the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose is to give it away. Such a powerful statement. We've seen it before, but obviously, you're putting it right on your LinkedIn, your digital business card. Can you share with us what that means to you?
Yeah, I think the genesis goes back to my last job, and the CEO and owner of my last company, his wife came from the nonprofit world, right? And that was really kind of a moment of inflection for me in my career, where I really learned about, yeah, it's important for us to kind of go work at food banks, example, and kind of donate money. But that was more, I had an awakening of kind of using that line from the B Corp community of using business as a force for good, right? And I think if more businesses can do more to lean in and figure out how can their KPIs embrace some concept of good, like what's in their DNA to give, we'll just have a better society overall. Like, we can't continue to look at government to fix society's ills. Nonprofit can't do it alone because we continue to not give them enough money because, heaven forbid, we pay an executive director too much in nonprofit, right? So I think it's really incumbent upon businesses to figure it out. So as an example, my last company, we were a software cloud-based consulting company, and we started to give away our consulting services for free, right? And that just really reinforces this is what's in our DNA to give. We're good at consulting. Let's give that away on top of the financial donations and, you know, the volunteering and so forth. And then we look at that penetration in terms of how are we doing and measurement, which always tends to be difficult to do. And in these four good components, it became easier to do. So just starting off helping these nonprofits that were meaningful to our people internally. What's interesting, this doing good turns out to be good for business, oddly enough, because we started having more nonprofits coming to us saying, hey, can you help us out? And we'll pay you. And this was completely not anticipated. As that evolved and morphed, I started hiring more and more people from the nonprofit world and turn them into technologists. So bringing in their speak into our world and our speak into their world, we ended up having over 50% of our revenue is now coming in from nonprofit that have really deep pockets. And then we took it the next step forward and we liaised with our customers and say, look, if us as a consulting partner hits on time on budget, let's take 1% of this overall project budget and donate it to a nonprofit of your choice, Mr. Customer, so we can give back and keep it full cycle. Keeps our team on target, keeps the team motivated, but also doing some good. And that's kind of where the genesis of this started from. And I've tried to continue to embrace that into my next gig and just figuring out, like, one of the things I love doing is talking to employers and doing some workshops. It's like, hey, what's in your DNA to give? You know, if you're selling soccer balls, is it around soccer? If you're sewing, is it around sewing? Just to try to help change this dynamic of, yes, we're volunteering at the soup kitchen. Great work. But what can we do that's embedded in our business that we can put on our revenue, our EBITDA, our cost of goods sold? So that's kind of a very long-winded answer to kind of where that came from. It's something that I'm really passionate about. And I really attribute it to my old boss's wife, for sure.
You know, I love the concept of the force for good. So I want to dig into that. And you talked about where the genesis of maybe that came from and you started doing this and it's taking you down a path. But I want to go back further because there's obviously, and it's obvious to me, even before we started recording, we were chatting about something. It's obvious to me that there's something inside of you that is passionate about whatever you're doing in this world. You want to make an impact and you want it to be something good and help people. I get that from the little time that I've known you. So where does that come from? And then since that time, and since you maybe you've had a little bit of that come into your business, how has that shaped your approach going forward?
Sure. I think I'll probably have to give credit to my parents. They came to Canada in 1960, kind of adopted me in 1970, but they always had this philanthropic component of either helping newcomers to Canada or kind of enabling and empowering women in some capacity. And I think that's interesting enough. Both the boards I serve on now are kind of both related to helping newcomers and businesses do better for newcomers and also enabling and empowering women in the workplace. Funny how that happens. So I think it kind of started with them. I just kind of grew up with it. It's always kind of been the norm. And then getting into the business world and just, it's always just been ethics. It's part of my core being. And I guess I have to look at my parents. And I think moving forward, right, I think I mentioned it already, but just I do think it's incumbent as someone in business and kind of in the twilight of my career, heaven dare I say, right, to kind of lean in and give back in a way that's meaningful. So I have the opportunity, I think I'm in year two now, working with Minerva out here in British Columbia, and they are a nonprofit that really kind of, we have some youth programming for girls, but really focusing on how do we enable women in the business world that may be experiencing that glass ceiling, right? They've hit that supervisory level and they're not enabled. So it's not just about training and mentoring, but really helping enable. And now the organization at Minerva, we're looking at mixed cohorts now, and not just focusing on women, but help bringing men in the conversation, hence why I'm on the board. And the other side of it, probably about closer to 10 years now, working with the Immigrant Employment Council out of Toronto and here in Vancouver, not only just to help newcomers to Canada, but help employers be better to those newcomers and help enable this hidden talent pool, which has been the same forever, right? I've always overheard, well, we've got a doctor who's driving a cab or someone who's highly qualified working at Best Buy, services that we all need, but all we keep seeing is a shortage of highly specialized people in Canada. How do we continue to tap that? So that's been a really interesting journey. I've been very lucky in both my past two gigs. They really embrace this kind of source of community and enable me to do this. And it's not just for PR. It's doing the right thing and ultimately benefits the business community, right? I guess the rising tide raises all boats.
Lifts all boats. Yeah, exactly. Manu, I know Al wants to jump in here because I can see his eyes lighting up with everything you're talking about. Are your parents still with us?
My mother still is, actually. She's 93, living on her own out in White Rock, a little community by the U.S. border here. And she's still kind of in that thing, right? Like, she started this little kind of bursary program for women. And she's like, how do we do this? I'm like, hey, let's put it into clean tech, entrepreneurship, and technology, right? So she's not an incredibly wealthy woman, but she's still to this day really focused on, hey, I didn't have those opportunities. Although her father educated her and all her 9 sisters to 12th grade in Africa, believe it or not.
Wow.
She's always been hungry for higher education, just never had the opportunity. And she wants to make sure she can make room for other women to do so.
Well, I would love if you would share once this episode comes out, and especially you're talking about where your ethics came from and where you drive from your parents. I think she'd get a kick out of hearing that.
Oh, yeah. I might be put back in the good books after Christmas. Let's see.
Hey, I'm curious, Manu, and I want to go back to what you said about how businesses can help, you know, and do and contribute just as part of their business. I would love if you would share a little bit about what specifically Switch does and how, you know, what it is that they can bring to the table. And also maybe just get your thoughts around what it is other businesses could do. Because, I mean, it's a big, you know, it's a big lift. It's a big lift. Yeah.
It certainly is.
So I would love it if you might give some examples of what you've done at Switch and then carry on to say, here's how other businesses could contribute in their way.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done, again, it's been a tough year in the EV charging space. You know, we've seen some, as with a lot of industries, right? Interest rates impacted car sales, which impacted EV sales. There's been a bit of an industry consolidation. The change of administration south of the border and a pending change up here isn't going to be necessarily friendly to our industry. That all notwithstanding, I think one of the things that we created, and we partnered with the Immigrant Employment Council and the Immigrant Services Society of British Columbia to create this, and I've been espousing this for a while to businesses, because a lot of folks have some trepidation into bringing newcomers in. So in order to kind of give back and create that sense of community for newcomers, to kind of create a free boot camp or training course for your company. So for example, with Switch, we created this boot camp. Half the week is about learning about EV and EV charging and the EV industry. And the other half is learning about SaaS and SaaS technology and tools. So very applied knowledge, very targeted. So hopefully, bring in some diverse people into the EV business and also the SaaS world, while also kind of giving them a cohort, a community to kind of be a part of. I think when you come to a new country, it's very difficult. How do I network authentically? How do I continue to build up my network so I've got these societal support networks, so then when I do have a tough time, I've got some to fall back to. So obviously, selfishly, the goal was for me to bring in more people to hire. We've kind of had a bit of a slowdown, so I'm not hiring so much, but it does also give them the opportunity to learn a new skill, be exposed to some new ecosystems. So when we have these really highly talented individuals, they can see, hey, there's different paths forward for me here, right? And we bring in people from the business to talk about, hey, I've come from here and I moved to here. I started off as like a helicopter mechanic and I moved over into this marketing role, and to show them some storytelling and show them there's some hope here, because there is a lot of that, oh my God, I'm here and now I got to work 80 hours a week to make the wage of not even a half of a full-time employee. That really hurts as a Canadian. Like I've been very lucky and I've been given so many great mentors and leaders over the years, I just want to be able to give back. So I think that's what we're trying to, at least baby steps here at Switch. We're fighting some big economic headwinds, but these are some of the things that we can do. I look to other businesses, I'm like, hey, who couldn't do a little boot camp? But it's like a working interview, right? It also kind of gives your employee base an opportunity to maybe lean in and do some instructional design, lean in and do some facilitation, horizontally diversify their job, give them something new to do a couple hours a week. It's a source of pride, I think, right? So more professional development from an engagement standpoint. It also gets your internal teams working on something that might not be directly related to the job. It's not an HR thing. It's not a marketing thing. It's for the whole company to lean in, and just the camaraderie that's built has been pretty cool. And so that's just one thing that we've done. I look forward to building more, but we're just still trying to, you know, we got our Series B funding. We're looking to just kind of keep our heads above water and ride out these headwinds. But that's just one thing that we've done. Partnering with other nonprofits is so key, because they can't do it alone. And I think businesses need to lean in and have applicable things in the output, obviously, right? So there's some vanity metrics that come out of this. So we're appealing, doing something tangible for people that are maybe shut out of these two EV industries and the SaaS world, and give them some tools. But I think the big thing is just giving them some sense of community, and hopefully it'll lead to a job, maybe through us or maybe through a partner, so they can talk the language, talk the nomenclature.
Hey, so I'm curious, if you have done this and you have spoken with other businesses and other business leaders about what you're doing and how they can do the same, what is their reaction?
Yeah, the Immigrant Employment Council has approached me like, hey, let's put together a workshop. We've got the straw man. We're just ready to roll it out. So we haven't actually done an actual workshop where we're kind of going to facilitate, get people to think about, hey, what are your three pillars for your word good component? Here's one example. Let us help you walk through a curriculum of how we can extract that. So we've done kind of the due diligence on the upfront to see how is there interest, at least in the groups that are supporting the IEC today. Haven't had anything come to fruition yet, but the talk is there. The interest is there. And I'm more than willing to spend my time to lean in and see if this thing actually has legs. We tried actually making this into my last gig. We would go actually out to businesses. And part of my role was to help them. How do you create a for good program? So we had, I think, about 10. We reached out to our whole customer base, which was quite big. And we had 10 people that said, yeah, we want to try it. So we kind of went in and showed them how to, and just kind of enable and then walk away, right? This isn't ours to run with, but just kind of empower, enable. And again, it just created yet another tie from our business to another, especially in that consulting world, having those ties. So we're not just vendor customer, but more friends, partners.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those things, doing what's right turns out to be good for business. Go figure.
Funny how that works.
Right?
Manu, you've talked about, and you referenced this word several times. I know it's important to you, and that's community.
Mm.
And I get feedback on every single podcast. And generally, our audience is one of two people. It's the owner, the CEO, the founder, the entrepreneur, or it's someone in the COO, the CPO, you know, the CHRO, VP of people. Those are our audience. And that's certainly on a Canadian basis. We have a lot of Canadian listeners. Mm. But throughout the years, I've noticed pretty much anywhere you can name on a map, people are listening. I always have fun with the story. One of our chief people officers now has a friend in another chief people officer in Stockholm, Sweden. They're trading ideas back and forth, and they've got invitations for each other to visit each other. I thought, this is incredible because of a little podcast that we started, right? So there's a lot of people listening, and Al and I included, when you talk about having your business and having an impact and building community and tying the two together, what are some things that our listeners, Alan, myself included, can say, hey, we've got this business, we're having fun, we're employing great people, we're bringing people in, we're bringing in people from outside of Canada as well. Fantastic. But what are some of the things that people might not have thought of about, hey, here's some easy ideas to start building that community? Because I think you're already very far down the path on doing that. So I'd love to hear any secrets that you can share.
I always kind of think about things in kind of a crawl, walk, run analogy, or like, otherwise it becomes just too, the level of effort or the lift is just too high. I think a real easy way to kind of put some structure around building community, at least for me, is kind of relying on those United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, right? The 17, not everyone can do everything all the time, but to rally around one or two of those is a great kind of starting place for me to either rally my internal teams around something for good, either to get them to work on something together and or external. I think it kind of also helps target your focus. Otherwise, it's just kind of spray and pray. Are you going to focus on the environment, sustainability, children, animals, women, right? What is it you're trying to focus in? I think that's just a great crawl just to make it tangible and kind of see the results. Or maybe it doesn't work for you. Let me pivot, go to something else. But that's kind of how I've always kind of started in it when it comes to measurement and also getting a program off the ground. So it's not this behemoth thing. We've got something targeted, a pillar or two, centered around the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, combined with maybe what's in our DNA to give. Voila, here's kind of the roadmap to move forward with.
Okay, so let me dig into that a little bit further because now I'm curious. So we say we want to crawl. We're not ready to run. Maybe you walk, but definitely start at the crawl. Where does that decision come from? Where have you seen success? Is that the CEO or the CPO or, you know, that role deciding, hey, here's what's important to us? Or do you involve and have that employee voice involved in part of that decision? And maybe there's some complexities there, but I'm just curious what you've seen work really well.
I mean, I've always had the benefit of having kind of buy-in from C-suite, and that's always been kind of my first talk and making sure they're bought in. But I haven't been in a position where I've been met with negativity. So I've been pretty fortunate in that regard. But I think it's also important as an employee, they enable them, empower them. Even if C-suite is not interested, again, it might take a while to see that doing good is good for the business, as in some of the examples I showed. But I think we got to give space for people to do it. I would love to see more people on the C-suite, the CEOs, and not just be an HR program or a marketing program. This is something that I think is just like engagement's not an HR thing. This is a company thing. And this is a great driver to push engagement for. That's measurable, tangible. It's ethos. There's pathos. There's logic into it. So kind of getting the whole employee involved. So I've just been really lucky that I've always kind of had buy-in from a CEO and they've even espoused it. But it's also the reason why I've gone to where I've gone, right? It's just, I really focus on, that's non-negotiable for me, kind of that ethos-driven business that's trying to use business as force for good, solve some of society's problems in a meaningful way.
Manu, can you talk about maybe a project or an initiative that you have undertaken that has been really successful and that you're really proud of?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to that kind of boot camp. We did another boot camp in the last gig. And it was incredibly successful. So this is really about training people on the Salesforce ecosystem, which is a massive SaaS-based ecosystem. Started off as a CRM, but basically, right, Salesforce can do anything. Back then, I think there was a shortage of like 225,000 jobs globally in the Salesforce ecosystem. So again, we partnered with the Immigrant Service Society of BC to come up with a curriculum targeted towards newcomers and Indigenous folks in Canada that maybe have an interest in technology, that maybe don't have the education. So our first cohort, we had 25 people. We had 10 people from our employee base that were giving little mini lectures on certain components, whether it be technical and or soft skills. We actually kind of created a crossing cultures with competence course as part of this, as well as the kind of more domain specific content from Salesforce in terms of how to configure a workflow. What do you do for security? What do you do for organizational wide defaults? But then also kind of putting in some of these communication, handling difficult conversations to kind of get them hearing the lingo, understanding kind of what they might be experiencing. And it was great. Here in Vancouver, the ISS of BC, they have this amazing facility where they can house newcomers to Canada for up to 90 days, like housing, banking, medical, teaching. So we hosted the sessions there, which was great. So it's easy for the newcomers to attend. The cool thing is we ended up hiring 3 people from that cohort of 25. But the cooler thing is we went to some of our customers in Vancouver and said, hey, you guys need some Salesforce administrators. Here's a pool to pull from. And some of them started hiring and watching some of these people. I'm still friends with our first cohort and their careers have just kind of taken off. There's a girl from China who's now, God, she's onto her like her 6th or 7th role and her earning capacity has just gone off the chart. There's another guy that came here from Vladivostok in Russia. He's kind of taken off and now he's consulting on his own and he's like, bought several homes, just life-changing things. And that's just so cool to watch the change and how they've moved forward. And there's companies that are doing similar, like Salesforce themselves is doing something called Salesforce for All, which they do. I think it's just a really easy thing for business to do. Knowing your business, teach it. There's nothing proprietary. I mean, Salesforce is a really great example. They put everything, all their training, everything is out there for free. Anyone can look at it and it becomes a competitive differentiation. So I think there's a lesson in there for business. We don't have to be all hiding in shrouds of secrecy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's actually a really inspiring story. And I'm sure it's great to see how that has impacted some of the people that you've been dealing with and then how they've turned out to be quite successful. Which leads us quite nicely to our last question, unless you wanted to add something in, Robin.
Well, Al, I'm sitting here listening to Manu and I'm so glad I remember that day and you were chatting with someone and I was like, oh, do I interrupt? And I did interrupt and I'm glad you did because this has been such a good conversation before. And I know there's going to be more after this. And Al's signature question, which as our listeners know, is a little more philosophical about, you know, planting trees. Everything that you've said so far is about that. I know there's going to be so many people that are going to benefit from the work that you're doing, Manu. So you might have something of a bit of a different answer. So I'll let Al go through the question. But I think the theme has been about planting trees for this entire episode. So Al, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, and you've already given us some clues. But then again, like Robin said, maybe there's something else going on that we don't know about because, you know, sometimes people do answer this from a personal point of view as opposed to a business point of view too. So anyway, let's go for it. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So through your leadership at Switch and your passion for using business as a force for good, what proverbial trees are you planting today that will create a lasting impact on maybe its communities, maybe its people, maybe its environment?
Yeah, interesting question. I think for me, I've kind of taken that very tactically. For people that are kind of my friend at work, I'm like, hey, it's time to get on a board. So I kind of actually take it very tactically. I'm like, you've got the time. It's time, right? And kind of tackling people that are doing really well in their career. And like, there's a lot you can learn, a lot you can give back as well. And so I've really been pushing that forward with a lot of my peer group and trying to get them to see that, there's something to do, but taking what's in their DNA to give? Like, what are you passionate about? Again, volunteering is awesome. What can you do that you really can give back? I've always wanted to be, and I see myself as a very hands-on board member, not to do the operations, but to kind of be a bit more participative as opposed to I'm just here to quorum, prove the budget, right? Ask a few investigative questions. I think you also kind of talk about who's the shadow you'll never sit in. I think for me, ethics and values are super important to me. And I think when I come to any decision-making, I use that as my filter right off the back, my decision-making matrix, if you will. If it's not consistent with my values and the behavior is not consistent with my ethics, I'm quit quitting, or I'm away, or whatever you want to call it, I'm out. So I think for me, that's what's important. Hopefully there's some kind of sustainability in this, at least for the people that are in my immediate network, that hopefully they can talk to two friends and so on and so on.
I really love that, Robin, you started off the podcast with Manu's quote from his LinkedIn. And I think the whole podcast really just reflected that whole statement about finding your gift, and then, you know, your purpose is to give it away. I think everything that you said here has really reinforced that. So thanks for that.
And I hope so. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. I love to be on my soapbox talking about stuff like this.
Well, Manu, for listeners who are interested in learning more about you and what you're doing, what's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, LinkedIn for sure. I'm pretty active on it there. So I will endeavor to return every message within 48 hours. That's kind of my internal SLA that I'll try to do. But yeah, absolutely hit me up on LinkedIn. Happy to chat and always happy to meet new people.
Yeah, me too. And love this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, that does it for today's episode. I think you can tell Al and I really enjoyed this one. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or join the conversation on LinkedIn. And remember, friends, we saw it here today. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.